The Holy Grail Body Transformation System, Part 3, Training. The importance of resistance training. If you want to gain muscle while losing fat, it should go without saying that the only logical place to start your training efforts is with resistance training, preferably with weights, barbells, dumbbells, cables, some machines, etc. Without some type of resistance training, all bets are off. Your muscle gains will be minimal. In fact, it's been a frequent finding in research on starvation and very low-calorie diets that in the absence of weight training, a calorie deficit can lead to 25% of the weight loss coming from lean tissue. In extreme cases, as much as half the weight loss could come from lean tissue. You're not even in the recomposition game without serious strength training. Even if your goal is fat loss, the weight training is necessary to maintain the lean body mass you already have and to keep your body looking hard and lean. I think the opposite of successful recomposition is what most of the general public does for weight loss. They crash diet without training and lose a lot of body weight, but their body composition doesn't improve. They simply become smaller versions of their old selves, or what I call skinny fat people. They fit into smaller clothes, but they don't look good out of clothes, and they may not be healthier either. Resistance training has a powerful effect on anabolic hormones and the partitioning of energy and nutrients. In the absence of weight training, a large percentage of an energy surplus gets stored as adipose tissue. By simply adding resistance training, if all else remains equal, calories will be utilized for energy to fuel training, amino acids will be shuttled into the muscle for tissue repair and growth, and carbohydrates will be sent to replace muscle glycogen. What kind of resistance training is ideal? The Holy Grail program does not require a specific weight training program. It's a system of nutritional periodization and cyclical dieting, which you could match to just about any training program you choose. However, weight training is mandatory and so crucial to getting optimal results that we need to discuss the basics of training design. You can use almost any strength and hypertrophy-based workout program you like. If you don't have a weight training program you currently prefer, I have two strong recommendations that'll work perfectly in the context of body recomposition goals, which are definitely cosmetic goals. Number one is traditional bodybuilding split routines. Now, this is like the programs that I recommend in my first book, Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle. For physique athletes, I recommend physique-oriented training, and that usually means a body part-based split routine. Usually that's done on a 3-day or a 4-day split. I usually recommend not training more than 2 days in a row, so a 2-on, 1-off schedule will work really well in conjunction with the Holy Grail nutritional cycling plan. The second option is what I call the new bodybuilding, TNB, workout, and that was originally seen in Men's Fitness magazine. I recommend this style of training, an upper and lower 2-day split for everyone else who wants to gain muscle and lose fat, but who's not interested in bodybuilding. I've included the TNB training program as a bonus with the Holy Grail program. But regardless of which training system you use, you should run your program through this quick checklist to make sure it's an optimal choice to use in conjunction with the Holy Grail program. First, the program should have a dual strength and hypertrophy emphasis. Ideal results will be achieved when you rotate between heavier lifting in the 4-6 rep range for strength and moderate lifting in the 8-12 rep range for hypertrophy. High rep training in the 13-20 rep range can be included in smaller amounts, but it shouldn't replace the heavy and moderate training. This program will not work optimally if you only use high reps. It's a huge mistake to lower the poundage and perform only high reps thinking that you'll burn more fat. You'll actually be more likely to lose muscle. Next, the resistance training program should emphasize mostly straight sets and/or some supersets. You'll get the best results if you use straight sets, and that's where you perform one set, say 10 reps, then rest before doing your next set. Or if you do supersets, and that's where you do 2 exercises back to back with little rest in between. Then you rest and repeat the superset. Circuit or bodyweight only types of training can be excellent for conditioning and for fat loss, but it lacks the maximum strength and hypertrophy elements you need. I have case studies in my files of people who gain muscle with virtually every type of program imaginable, including circuit training. But you'll almost always find the presence of those X1 and X2 factors. For example, it's a beginner doing the program that would explain muscle gains along with fat loss, even with suboptimal training protocols. Next on the list, the resistance training program should have an appropriate training volume and duration. More sets and more exercises are not necessarily better. Better is better. Better training means more intensity, good exercise form, and continued progression. The training volume you choose, which is the number of exercises times the number of sets, should usually not have you training more than about 45 to 60 minutes a session. No training duration is set in stone, but the job can get done in under an hour. Next one, the resistance program must use a frequency that allows optimal total body recovery and individual muscle group recovery. Your muscles do not grow during your workouts. They grow after your workouts. For body recomposition, the resistance training frequency is optimal in the range of about 3 or 4 days a week, depending on your experience level, your available time, and your goals. Bodybuilders might be the exception. They utilize more training days with a body part split routine. For example, they might go 4 to 5 days a week of training. However, the frequency of working each muscle group would actually be lower because each workout might only focus on one major and one minor muscle group. For example, like back and biceps or shoulders and triceps. And each muscle group might only be worked once every 5 or 6 days. And the last one on the checklist, the resistance training program should emphasize basic compound lifts with isolation exercises used as the secondary movements. The majority of your exercises should be basic compound movements, and that would be exercises like squats, Romanian deadlifts, conventional deadlifts, lunges, split squats, chest presses, bench presses, dips, shoulder presses, pull-ups, and rows. Isolation exercises and small body part exercises should be included, but consider them secondary importance. Next, let's talk about cardio training. It's widely believed today that endurance training, also known as aerobic exercise or cardio, can interfere with your strength and your muscle gains. And this is really important on a body recomposition program like the Holy Grail. In fact, there has been so much aerobics bashing in the fitness and strength training community in recent years that the debates between pro-cardio and anti-cardio people sometimes get heated. The research, plus anecdotal evidence from groups such as competitive bodybuilders, suggests that there's room for both. Most bodybuilders integrate cardio with weights year-round in moderate amounts and in larger amounts before contests. They seem to have no problem maintaining their muscle mass as they get ripped. But there's no doubt that doing too much cardio added on top of a weight training program has the potential to hold back strength and muscle gains. Exercise Physiology 101 tells us that the human body adapts specifically to the demands imposed on it. If you impose the demand of lifting heavy weights, you stimulate mostly fast twitch, type 2B muscle fibers, you increase the size of your muscle fibers, and increase the neuromuscular connections. In summary, you send a message to your body to get bigger and stronger. If you impose the demand of endurance training, you stimulate mostly slow twitch type 1 muscle fibers, you increase maximal oxygen uptake, muscle aerobic enzyme activities, capillary density, and the mitochondrial density of your muscles. In summary, you send a message to your body to increase aerobic capacity and become more resistant to fatigue. Some athletes need a little bit of both, strength and aerobic capacity, and of course, many people want to gain muscle and lose fat, so they lift and do cardio. But what happens when you do both together? Many strength and aerobic adaptations are antagonistic to each other. After all, nobody can successfully train for a marathon and a powerlifting contest at the same time, can they? As they say, jack of all trades, master of none. The question is, how much cardio is too much? How much is too little? One study published in Medicine and Science in Sports and Exercise recruited 30 sedentary and untrained healthy men, and they were divided into three groups: strength, endurance, and concurrent, which is the group that did both. The strength group performed 8 weight training exercises for 1 warm-up set and then 3 maximal effort sets for 5 to 7 reps per set, and they went to the point of muscular failure. The rest between sets was about 75 seconds. The endurance group did 50 minutes of continuous cycling at 70% of heart rate reserve. The concurrent group completed the strength and the endurance protocol in the same session with a 10 to 20 minute break between each workout, lifting or cycling. The order of weightlifting or cycling was rotated with each session. Here's the results. When strength and endurance training were performed on the same day, and it was only done 3 days per week on alternate days, strength development was not compromised compared to strength training only. But here's the real kicker. The subjects in the concurrent training group that did both strength and endurance training actually got better muscle growth in the thighs than the strength training only group. So the interference effect of doing cardio and weight training together is definitely not a foregone conclusion. In many of the studies that showed an impairment in strength, what was happening is the training protocol involved training the thighs 6 days per week, either through strength training such as squats or cycling. In some studies showing strength interference, up to 11 workouts per week were performed. So lower body recovery, choice of exercise, and frequency of training are all important factors when you design a cardio program for concurrent muscle gain and fat loss. Here's the bottom line to this. Moderate amounts of cardio can help you gain muscle while staying lean. When the amount of cardio is moderate, about 2 to 3 days a week, cardio and strength training together actually can improve muscle growth without interfering with strength. As one group of researchers from McMaster's University put it, a combination of some forms of strength training and endurance training may be additive rather than antagonistic. Now, this may come as a big surprise to many people, but there are explanations for why this is true. First, cardio can help increase nutrient clearance from the blood and enhance nutrient uptake into the cells. Second, cardio can increase capillary density, which can enhance the delivery of oxygen, nutrients, and hormones to the muscle cells. At the same time, the increased capillary density helps with the removal of waste products from the working muscle tissue. Third, when your cardiovascular fitness improves, you can recover faster from your weightlifting. In fact, many forms of low-intensity cardio are actually a type of active recovery. And fourth, when you're in good cardiovascular condition, you can perform better, especially on demanding compound strength training exercises like squats or deadlifts, rows, and lunges. If you've ever felt yourself sucking wind after a set of squats or rows, then you can appreciate the role that good cardio has in a strength training workout. So here are the holy grail cardio recommendations. When we look at the research at combined cardio and strength training, plus we look at the experience of physique athletes and strength athletes, this helps us come up with some really solid guidelines for cardio when we're going after muscle gain and fat loss at the same time. Here's recommendation number one. If your primary goal is muscle gain with a secondary goal of fat loss, limit yourself to 3 days a week of cardio. The research says that moderate amounts of cardio can actually help increase muscle growth. The key is to keep it down to about 2-3 days a week. Let the weight training and nutritional manipulation do the rest. Second cardio recommendation. If your primary goal is fat loss with a secondary goal of concurrent muscle gain, start with 3 days a week of cardio, then increase conservatively if you need to. When fat loss is the primary goal, longer and more frequent cardio sessions are definitely helpful for increasing the weekly calorie deficit and burning fat faster. However, if your secondary goal is muscle gain, you do have to be alert to whether that impacts your strength and muscle retention. So increase the cardio beyond 3 days a week conservatively and use mostly nutritional manipulation to get the deficit you need. Third cardio recommendation. If your goal is focused fat loss, then higher cardio frequency is helpful, and sometimes it's necessary. Bodybuilders typically do cardio 4 to 7 times a week during pre-contest training, in addition to strength training as often as 4 or 5 times per week. During any cutting program, gaining strength and muscle mass are no longer priorities, as the goal switches to getting lean while just maintaining muscle. As long as you maintain your lean body mass, the higher cardio frequency is not only acceptable, it's ideal for helping you get leaner faster. Fourth cardio recommendation: choose a cardio duration between 20 and 50 minutes. You can start on the low end and increase duration or intensity based on your weekly progress. The duration will be dictated mainly by your intensity level. The longer sessions will be low to moderate in intensity. The shorter sessions may be higher in intensity, and you could do them as high intensity interval training. Fifth cardio recommendation: use running or high impact types of cardio sparingly or not at all. You could choose any type of cardio you want. However, keep in mind that the greatest area for concurrent training interference effects is in the legs. Cardio done with high intensity, high impact, or a strong eccentric component may place additional stress on the lower body and on your overall recovery capacity. Running has been shown to be particularly taxing on the lower body and is believed to increase muscle loss more than the other forms of cardio. The sixth cardio recommendation: restrict the intense cardio to 2 days per week, 3 days max if you feel that you have a good recovery ability. High-intensity interval training has become very popular as an effective and time-efficient way to do cardio, but too much intense cardio on top of weight training can easily lead to overtraining. I would recommend no more than 2 to 3 high-intensity interval training sessions a week when you're doing 3 or more days a week of high-intensity strength training at the same time. If you do additional cardio, what you should do is make it lower intensity training or light activity like walking. And remember, that could even serve as active recovery while still burning some calories. The seventh cardio guideline: if it's possible, do cardio and weights separated into 2 sessions. If you do cardio and weight training in the same day, separating them into 2 sessions, at least 8 hours apart, may help you enhance recovery and avoid some of the residual fatigue where one session interferes with the other. Be especially sure that your legs are recovering completely and that the fatigue from cardio doesn't interfere with your weight training workouts, especially on leg day. The eighth and final cardio recommendation: do weights first and cardio second. If you do cardio and weights in the same session, which is fine, do the weights first and the cardio second. Endurance athletes might be the exception to this rule, but when strength and muscle increase are the primary goals, which they are in this program, the strength training should go first. Let me finish this section with a quick note about body composition testing and the scale. How do you know if your weight training and cardio training program is working in conjunction with your nutrition plan? Simple. Measure the results. Weekly weigh-ins and body composition tests are extremely important for tracking your progress. On this type of program, though, be forewarned. When you're using cyclical dieting methods, especially when there's large carb ups, the scale fluctuations can sometimes really mess with your head. The glycogen stores fill up on high carb days, so your body weight usually spikes, and then it can drop precipitously by the third day before jumping back up. So keep a meticulous progress chart with your weekly results for total body weight, body fat mass, lean body mass, and body fat percentage. But when you look at your progress chart, pay more attention to the trend in body composition over time and not so much on the daily fluctuations, especially if you are prone to large water weight fluctuations. If you want much more detailed information on how to measure your body fat, you can refer to my fat loss book, Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle, in Chapter 3. Chapter 4 has detailed information on how to track your results and chart your progress. Or you can take a look at my special report, How to Measure Your Body Fat in the Privacy of Your Own Home.